Now, a station that's giving you back the power to speak your mind. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
15 minutes after the hour of 3 o'clock, welcome to The Overdrive here, the biggest show here on the frequency. Much love, thanks, and greetings going out to Bass Trilogy for locking on the last three. What a beautiful day it is today. Wonderful day among the land of the living. Yeah, man. You know, today was fairly okay. And then I came to work and I heard something just now that I'm not feeling too good about it. We really have to give God thanks and reverence for being able to see another day and being able to be here to do what we do. Whatever you do, wherever you do it, it's always good to give God the glory, honor, praises that He deserves. Because I can tell you that a lot of persons did not make it today. And those that would have seen today, not sure to see the day come to a completion. And I just want to tell persons out there, stop quarreling about frivolous things, no man. Stop arguing and fighting about dotishness. Stop. You know what I mean? Just be a vibe, no man. You know, just live and chillax, no boy. All your pardon me, but it has been one of those days. And with that being said, you know, a lot is on my mind. A lot of things I had to talk about. But it's just one of those days. And anyway, what's happening in your neck of the woods? If you can touch base with me and let me know what's up, I'd be happy to engage. Of course, you can call me at 627-3223-625-2257 and or send me a WhatsApp to 306-1065. You ever see or hear something bad and you're calling the person and you're just hoping to hear them answer the phone by and say, yeah, you're making that call and yeah, wow. Anyway, 18 minutes after the hour, and we have an interview coming up with someone here to join us on the frequency in a little bit. But what's happening in your neck of the woods? How was your day so far? So much taking place on the political landscape that we're talking about these days. Is a lot of hit and miss, a lot of different challenges and things that we are facing. You know, what's going on with you? The UNC seems to be stronger than ever, from what I was hearing. You know, the opposition leader ain't backing down. All right? She's not backing down at all. But it's something that I want to say this afternoon about Terrence Dial Singh. You know? Terrence came into high praises for me this afternoon. So I just want to say that, you know, Terrence came in high praises for me this afternoon, and I just want to say, you know, big him up now, boy. But before I get into all of that semantics here this afternoon, I have an interview that's coming up. Let me take my first call. Good afternoon. Call me back. 627-32 225 and let's talk 627-2257. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, pleasant afternoon, Mr. Davey, on the big show.
On the big show, what's up, buddy?
Hi there, man. Hey, Davey, this morning on Saturday's program is the first phone call, right? And Central Curate. You know what the first words this man say?
What is that?
The babies who died, half of them have the potentials of being criminals. Imagine that, a man that status, say that early morning out of his house. Maybe where these people, what they eat and drinking, what is wrong with them?
Here's
these are still in incubators, they premature, they ain't born good yet.
All right, here's what.
And this man watching him out on the children.
Let's talk about it. A little later this afternoon, I'm going to, all right, I have to welcome my guests. So we'll talk a little later this afternoon pertaining to that, because I have some pronouncements to make on that as well. As I said, the Honorable Minister came in for some high praises from me with something that I heard from him. But and apart from that, let's talk about situationships and red flags in relationships, you know, and one of the questions is, are all step-parents abusive? We would have seen what transpired last week, and the four-year-old child lost her life gruesomely and painfully, I might add, because from what I got from the coroner's report, she died from trauma to the head and decapitation. So this child was very much alive when they started, for quote-unquote, want of a better term, cutting off her head, all right? She wasn't dead. The autopsy didn't show that she died, and then the decapitation. It says as a result of blunt force trauma and decapitation, she died. That is a real... We still talk about that today. Big up everybody who went to the candlelight vigil. Aside from that, my guest this afternoon, Dr. Varma Dyal Singh, a psychiatrist, is here to chat with me as we deal with red flags in relationships. And a serious question, are all step-parents abusive? Dr. Dyal Singh, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. Pardon me, I just got a little bit of
bad news. Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. But I want everybody to know that's listening. I had a little bit of bad news when I came to work here. And it have me, not disoriented, but it have me in disbelief and shock. So I'm still trying to make a phone call in between. And I'm hoping to hear him answer. Nothing so far. Dr. Dyal Singh, welcome to Freedom. It's good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, I am happy to have you. This topic that we are about to touch on is going to be a very heavy one for the next few minutes. And I want to start off, we all have relationships, situationships, whatever you want to call it. All right. Man and woman get together, or in some instances, we have same sex people getting together. But humans get together all the same, right? Let's talk a little bit about, you know, when these couples get together, how do we start to identify red flags in a relationship? What are some of the things that one can look for? But just before we do that, let's talk a little bit about who you are as a psychiatrist, how long you've been in the field, and then we can venture on.
Okay, so I've been a psychiatrist for quite a few years now. I've been working out of Barataria Mental Wellness Clinic. Mm-hmm. I've also been an independent senator. So
yes.
I'm also seeing patients at my practice who come in with violence and domestic violence, and also as a parent, it hurts me to see what's happening to children, young children in society.
Yes, that is most definite. So thank you very much again for joining me here. I know you were very vocal as an independent senator as well. Let's talk a little bit about the red flags. People come to you for abuse, domestic violence being meted out against them, and different things. What are some of the signs that we can look for when before we get to the signs, what are some things that ladies especially, especially women, they seem to be more vulnerable in society. Men, we suffer abuse too by women, at the hands of women. So I'm asking you my first question. Let's talk about the different types of red flags that one can see and know that's a red flag and how to treat with it.
Well, initially, when you're courting someone and you find that suddenly this gentleman comes into my life, so he might be showing you with love, and you find it's happening very, very rapidly. So a fast pace. You know, suddenly you're getting flowers, you're getting the talks, you're getting the phone calls. So you're being bombarded. So the bombarding of the love, also the fact that this individual now wants to come into your life in such a way that he wants to know who are your work colleagues, your family, what do you do in church, where do you go? And suddenly now, not just the love for you, but he is so involved now in your other aspects of your life. So that is where he tries to step in and then tries to control. So we look at the fact is a sort of what they call a very whirlwind honeymoon, very quickly situation, very fast, hitting you with that love, bombarding you. You're not getting time to think. You're not getting time, to see anything about this individual that you may suspect, because you're just bombarded with love. But then when he starts to interfere with your life, trying to tell you now, hey, you know, girl, I don't like how you're dressing. Oh, I find you're revealing yourself too much. Oh, I don't like you to go out with your cousins. Oh, you see that girl's like, I don't like it too much. When he starts to now gets into that space, control that space is where you have to start to worry. So the control is there, because eventually some of these gentlemen, they may think that they may treat you as part of a piece of their property, where they think they own you, and they are now able to control every aspect of your life. So you have to be alert to the individuals. How does he react in a situation? Let's say you go into a restaurant, you're ordering food, and he starts to say demeaning things about the waitress. How he treats other people around him could give you a clue. Hey, that individual has a nasty side about him, and you have to have your antennas up. An individual who comes and tells you that, portrays that he's everything, he's good, and his family is treating him badly, his co-workers is treating him badly, and he's the good one. So he has that story of self, making himself more important and more as the good one in any situation.
So he's the victim.
So
he's always the victim.
You have to look out of those factors.
Let me back it up a little bit. All right. You mentioned courtship, and I am thinking in the inaugural stages of any relationship, one will tend to manifest their feelings, and they will do so with displays of affection in terms of gift giving. So you're saying that they started giving the flowers too quickly. I always see that as something normal, I like the lady. I'm thinking, I will show her my romantic side. I buy her some flowers. I buy her a gift. Is it the type of gift that you give on those inaugural stages could raise a red flag? Or is it all gifts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, not really. It's not the type of gift. It's really what I'm saying is you're bombarded with too many gifts of one. You're not giving that person breathing space. You so want to get into that life of that person that you sort of surround that person with gifts, your presence. For instance, you may find yourself going to the person's workplace, waiting for them, you may find they want to go to their family parties. They want to, now, which is all well and good for you to invite them. But when they're pushing their way in a very, quick manner, you have to be cautious. You have to be cautious in the sense that, hey, yes, he's trying to impress. And you see, this is where women sometimes may love the attention. They may think, hey, he's really interested in finding out about mommy, family, sister. He wants to come to church with me. And you see, so initially you will find you've got the perfect gentleman. But you see, in this day and age, we have to appreciate that domestic violence, some figures, 1 in 3, 1 in 4, you have it occurring. And therefore, if it's so high globally, not just Trinidad, it's not just a Trinidad thing, because even America, they found that a lot of women are being, the women who are being murdered Most of them, it's persons they know, an ex-lover, a husband, mm-hmm. somebody they had in their life, not mm-hmm. stranger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you have to be aware anybody you bring into your life. You have to suspect that, you know, the figures that we are seeing globally, you know, what about this guy? Do you know anything about his past? How could you find out? How does he react with his, you know? So it's good sometimes to do some little nosy digging in Facebook to see who he was with and try to find out why did he break out. And another fact is, if a guy reaches the law quickly, so let's say a guy going down in the highway driving, suddenly goes on the shoulder, doesn't care about infractions of the law, or an individual may have had breaches with the law before, that personality, there's something called a borderline personality type, where these individuals quickly get into trouble. They emotionally unstable, so they can go from one level and suddenly anger increases. They show so much emotions. And you see, with a personality like that, let us say you have a relationship with this lady, and she sees the warning signals and she says, listen, I am leaving. There's where the individual comes back and he begs her, you know, I will die without you. You're the only one. Yes, I have deficiencies, but you're the only one to change me. And those things now, sometimes the woman will feel, okay, you know, I really love this guy. I have my hope, my dream. Probably I can change him. And then they tend to go back. And this is where we find it's challenging sometimes where a sister, a mother, a friend may say, listen, that guy, you know, he has some weird tendencies. But women sometimes go into this relationship and it's difficult for them to come out of it.
One of the things I noted that you said, you know, finding the job. Now, when you're courting someone, right, for me, I liken it to looking for a job, for work. I'll be very impressed if I are the helm of a company or in a position in the recruitment department where I'm seeing persons for interviews, and they are able to tell me the history of my organization that I work for. They're able to say, I know you joined the company at so-and-so time, and it's good to see. They're able to tell. It tells me that they did some research. They didn't just saw a vacancy ad in the papers and just throw their hat in the ring. So I'm saying, you dating someone that you may have seen, you know, just like how you suggested, go up on Facebook, check out the socials, do some history. This person could have done the same and recognized, hey, you know, somebody might say, I know her, she work in my excellent stores, you know. But because you all have met in a party, you know, you met her in a party, some people, and you know, people just post up everything they're doing. I don't know for what reason, why, the Audi country, the line, you know, the Audi country. I not doing that. If you ever see me post anything about me or the country, it's because I went and come back and I'm here. So if you think I go now, right here. But bar aside from that, I'm thinking that some of these things that you are saying could be a red flag. I am now scared because to me, it seems normal if you're getting in, you know, I want to know where you're working. Now, the part that I could agree with you on, not that I disagree with anything you have said, is the fact that if they want to do this too quickly, so they're pushy, you know, they tell them you have a family line or a family reunion, they want to invite themselves. I'm thinking, well, hey, I know I met you a week, 2 weeks ago, we talking. Yeah, we talking every day, but this was planned before you.
Yeah.
I'm still getting to know you. How could I just bring you around my friends and family? Yes, I'm going to my family reunion next Sunday,
yes.
So I wouldn't be available to really hang out with you, but, well, I come in too. What is that? You know, so I could understand that.
Well, yeah. And you see, a nice thing too is to test it. For instance, let's say you're going out with an individual. It's when they start to now control you and say, listen, I don't want you to go with your girl's line. I don't want you, you know, to stay after work, if any, after work line. So they now try to make sure that you're in their space. And eventually you will now, this individual will be in every aspect of your life, controlling you, telling you how to spend money, how to dress, where to go. And this is where now, once you see that control coming in, you have to now sort of wonder, am I losing my independence? Am I going in with somebody who will now try to control me in other ways? And sometimes a good idea is to interact. See how that individual would interact when you have another colleague. Let's say you are female, you go to work, another guy from work comes and speak to you. Look at his response. Look at his facial. Does he look angry? Does he not try to control you? Does he try to find out about that? Where, yes, people could be jealous. Yes, you may feel insecure if you're now in a relationship. Yes, he may want to find out if that guy has something before. But you see, if you see that pattern where he starts to question you, starts to check your phone, and, you know, try to control that aspect of you, you're now losing that independence. And this is something where you'll have to be a little cautious to see, am I getting into this individual? Because you see, any control, you see the courtship period. If you decide to go further and get married, it's going to get worse, 10 times worse, because now he's figured that he had, you know, he give you that ring, you decide to live together, he now figures, well, you know, you're part of his property. And you see, you have to look at how he treats other people. And when you look at individuals who let's say you have an individual who hits his partner, you have to understand there's some individuals out of rage, a fit of rage, they may push, they may hit, they probably had a hard day at work, other issues going on, so they may lose it. They may lose it if y'all are arguing, y'all are arguing about something, and both of y'all are tired and drained out. That might be an isolated event. But you see, if it comes like a habit of verbal abuse, telling you things, telling you you're dressing like a slut, giving you words that make you feel hurt, that emotional sort of abuse, that now could go into a sort of a, you know, lead to physical abuse after. So this is why you have to be cautious how they, if they are demeaning you in a courtship period. But you see, in the beginning, you may not see all these things. In the beginning, it's a courtship. He's trying to show you his good side. So you really have to look how he is interacting with other people. How does he interact with his family? Because let's say he and his relatives, he has no close friends. You have to understand why. Why is that? Is that his personality type? Any breaches in the law he had before? These are things. If an individual keeps jumping from jobs to job to job, he may not be fitting in with good interpersonal relationships with persons. So therefore, in the workplace, he might be always is their fault, you know, and this is why I had to leave that job. So you have to look at that past history. And, you know, ideally, if I want to look at future behavior, I would want to look at past behavior, because we tend to be creatures of habit. So ideally, if we could monitor, for instance, how this individual grew up. Did he grow up in a home with violence? Mommy, daddy fighting all the time. That's normal to him. Then domestic violence and abuse is normal. That's normalized. That's his behavior. This is how he thinks it's supposed to be. So his home situation could make him get attuned to this sort, what we call intergenerational domestic violence, where it comes like, hey, this is how a marriage or a partnership supposed to be. So how his home was his home filled with an alcoholic father, beaten mumsy? Did he not figure, hey, this is how it's supposed to be? So if he grew up in a home where the father wants the remote for the TV and just shouts to the wife, hey, bring this be remote, and so that's how a child will learn that. And a child now in adulthood, this is how the child will react. Now, some of those individuals, you could re-educate them. You could teach them this is not the way it has to be. Those right. individuals may be able to help. Other individuals now, if you are a normal individual, you grew up good, you grew up in a big childhood, because you see, the thing is, there's a generalized personality disorder. You could pick up some person, like a person who, as I said, drinking a lot, emotionally unstable, picking into fights. Those individuals are more difficult to work with. They may have what we call personality disorders, narcissistic personality. Those are real hard individuals to try and change. Other individuals, if you suddenly lose your job, you're at home, you don't know how to feed your kids, or you have that relationship and you feel you're less of a man, you can't support your girlfriend, you can't support your wife, you might hit out and lash out to your partner.
Is it the
not
same?
Not necessarily, but you're directing, you're directing your social ills on your partner. This is something, again, we see happening sometimes.
Is it the same with women? You know, men, do women?
What the difference is this? Women, let us say a woman is stressed out. We find women seek help more than men. So a woman now may call her sister. A woman may call her friend. A woman may go to church. A woman may say, let's go and get some therapy. Let me go and speak to my pastor, my partner. Men, because of our so-called upbringing, the macho mentality, we figure, even though we are undergoing this turmoil, we hardly reach out for help. So depression in women and depression in men are handled differently. So women may come out more, men may stay and internalize. And men now, by internalizing, sometimes it comes out more as aggression, more as irritability, more as violence. And men also will now go and rather go and drink. So you see, a lot of men will go and be drinking. So how they use their therapy, they might go in the rum shop and drink and bar talk the boss, bar talk this. So venting is good, eh? Nothing wrong with venting. And you have seen plenty of movies where you find that they go to the bartender and they lay out their problem.
That could
be therapy. Mm-hmm. But if you're a lonely drinker, you just go in the corner and you're drinking and you're festering and you're not able to talk it out and you're keeping it in, that individual will explode and could explode in violence towards a mate, towards a co-worker, road rage, because you have social ills that could affect anyone, that can make the calmest individual could be irritable. If tomorrow you hear your mom's had a cancer, your money that you put in unit and whatever, Clico, you can't get it again, you're about to lose your job, your mindset is different and you'll be very irritable. So then now you come with your partner and you figure, with time, this goes so long, she should understand, she should read my moods. And she may not know, she can't read your mood sometimes. So if you and her talking and you think she's arguing about some irrelevant thing about the children, homework, or what the neighbor did next door, and that is now bombarding you and your mind is so filled, you may lash out. So there are innocent reasons why people could lash out. But where as a society, we have to realize those individuals who could have domestic violence and lead to them killing their wives, those are the ones we want to really get into therapy, get into the system. Because if I could predict the man who's beaten his wife could come up for potential killer, and those are the guys. And some of the warning signs are, one, if they had, for instance, if they were very towards pets, cruel to pets, kicking pets, etc., if they had breaches in the law, if they had substance abuse, be it, substance abuse, if they have a history of choking, that is a very important thing. If you fight in and you start to choke that woman, that is a danger sign. I tell my ladies, either get out of here or he has to come into therapy. So choking, also threatening to kill them before, also forced sex. So in a relationship, if you see these things happening, then you realize that man may not be just a domestic violent individual, but a man who could kill me, put me 6 feet under. And this is why I always try to tell women, report it. You see, if you report it to the police, we have something in the system already. And if it goes beyond the magistrate, we tell the magistrate, once you have this danger, a danger index, we call it, once you could go through that list of dangerousness in a particular individual, we could predict that man may have a greater degree to stalk you later on, come back and kill you, come back and do something, harm you. And this is why our challenge is to get these individuals, the law bringing these individuals to us to do a dangerous assessment test and say, that individual, within that first year, I'm worried about that individual going to harm the mother or harm the child, which is the object of the mother's love. And that individual, I need that individual to either put the GPS bracelet and strict laws that you don't go near this lady. And this is where we have to evolve if we want to stop this sort of domestic violence, murder, suicide, etc.
I have a couple of voice notes here. Take a listen.
Hi, good afternoon to the panel there. I'm really happy that y'all are discussing this topic. I've been wanting to share this topic for a long while, but never had the guts to do it. So I'm really happy that y'all are discussing this so that I can share my thoughts. One of the red flags I encounter as a woman is that I was dating this guy and I was very gainfully employed and he wasn't employed at the time. And the guy turned to me one day and he said, I make him feel less of a man because of my ambition. And from that, I start watching that man different. Right? He started to become very aggressive, very controlling. He will follow me to work. Anyway, I'm lying in tongue. I will just look around and see him there. Right? I try to warn other people about him, but they won't listen. And I'm living to see they are going through the same thing that I went through. Sad. Oh, I see you mentioned the word personality disorder. And he still demonstrate that personality disorder / not. Very, very much so. And I'm having a difficult time dealing with him because I have a daughter with him. And it's really, really hard co-parenting with him.
So you see, that's another...
What can you suggest?
She's having a difficult time. Somebody now message and say, what kind of mooks man is that? Now, the thing about it is, men who tend to feel emasculated because their woman earning capacity surpasses theirs. How would you look at such an individual? What would be your prognosis on somebody who feels threatened by their spouse earning capacity that surpasses theirs as a man?
Well, you see, that is, yeah, we see we need a cultural shift, remember? We were ingrained with the male being the head of the household, the male being the breadwinner. And we don't still see, you know, a lot of men still don't see a woman on an equal footing. You see, you have to understand it's a partnership. Now, the thing is, let us say you feel that she's earning more than me. What I tend to do is get these guys into therapy with other guys who are, sometimes they don't have a job, their ladies are earning more than them. But we say, listen, you and that lady isn't a partnership. One day you may be down and other times she may be up. There's nothing wrong with that. So by surrounding himself in what you call group therapy with other males who lost their jobs, you find that could be beneficial. So even the Ministry of Labor, anybody who loses their job, you should say, come in, let's retrain you. But it's not just retraining you, it's getting those guys to come in and meet other guys who are telling you the same thing. Boy, I can't mind my wife, I'm feeling so. And there's where you get Ministry of Social Services coming in and kicking in and helping these individuals.
I have a phone
in the
call.
Time being. So you still get a stipend and you get trained.
I have a phone call coming through. Hello, good afternoon, welcome.
Good afternoon, Davey, and good afternoon to your guest.
Dr. Dial Singh, yes.
Okay. Davey and that is the minister?
The MP. Well, independent
okay.
Senator.
Okay, right. Sir, I used to work in a home where they used to have battered women and children. And, you know, I have many experience where it is they relate to me. And one of the ladies told me, she used to get the licks and the blows so much. And a day she had an ice pick. And she say, I don't know what to do. She sat up, pong the ice pick on the table, and the man here in the ponging. When he get up, he say, what you doing? She say, I ain't doing nothing, you know. I don't know what to do with this in my hand. And, you know, next day the man tell her, I am scared for my life. She say, but all the time you doing me so much, I think I didn't want to do nothing, you know. I just had this ice pick, and I didn't know what to do. But because many men, they want to do and they don't have the feelings what the wife or the spouses go through. I'm not saying men doesn't get it, you know, but most of the time it's the woman that's be getting the most of it and the sticky part of it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, caller. 627-3223, 625-2257, or your WhatsApp to 306-1065. Chatting here with Dr. Varma Dial Singh, a psychiatrist of many years, and of course, we're talking about red flags in relationships and abuse. Now, what she said there about the ice pick, Dr. Dial Singh, tell me your thoughts.
Okay. So two things she mentioned were significant. If you grow up in a home with domestic violence as a child, you find that you may accept it. So therefore, you find that the individuals will think that is normal. So a boy, as a man, may think it's okay to shout, it's okay to hit, it's okay to threaten. It's okay for daddy to come in as the big badger. A girl now may think that it's okay to get licks. It's okay to be, you know, so she's on the other spectrum. And when she enters a relationship, there's something called, there's a theory where she actually, if she doesn't get beaten, she doesn't feel loved.
Wow.
So it's a warp theory where, yeah, so it's what they call traumatic bonding theory. So therefore, you grew up thinking of the of licks, mommy getting licks, and your warp sense, if you don't hit me, if you don't slap me, and sometimes you may intentionally provoke, and if you get the licks, you kind of accept it. So this is one thing, how we grew up, how what we're exposed to can affect us. So that's what they call the cycle of violence that you can have. Now, that's one thing. Now, the other thing she mentioned about the ice pick, we have recognized that some women, after they live in a home with an individual, and that individual threatens us, that individual tells us that, you know, if we go outside, if we speak to the neighbor, if we answer the phone, they're going to chop out my hand, they're going to kill my child, they're going to burn my mother's house down. If you're hearing that every day,
mm-hmm.
if you know that individual is an aggressive individual, he wants to pick fight with neighbors, etc., you will fear that individual. And sometimes by fearing that individual, you feel that that individual could harm you no matter where you go. And this is why some women don't leave. Because in their mind, he comes like what they call the omnipotent presence. So if I leave home, he's going to
find me. All right.
So it's better I stay into this.
Let's
now, recognize.
Yep. Let me just take this call here with you quickly. Somebody wants to ask a question. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Davey, and good afternoon to your guests.
Uh-huh.
Each relationship has a different cover. There's no storybook, fairy tale, and then or script written to relationship on a whole. Each case it has a different base altogether, different story altogether. And, you know, from the time you hear about domestic violence and all of this and thing, and you see, there's a stigma that the man is the aggressor, the man is this, the man is that, and all of this. But I'm telling you all, you gentlemen, right, that I've heard stories, right, where the man started a relationship with a woman, right? And the man, suffice it to say, was the lover in the relationship. The one was caring, the one was compassionate, and all of that. And because he wanted, you know, love is a fairy tale thing. Sometimes you get sting by love bug, you know, and you're seeing that the woman that you fell in love with is not up to par with the love that you are meted out and the feelings and compassion that you are thing with. And, you know, some or the other, you say, listen, she would change this and that and this. And you are the lover in the relationship. Eh? And when, you know, after a little while, you know, that same love, right, will turn to a kind of love-hate at first. For the resentment is the right word to use for the other individual, because the man is saying to himself that he is putting out so much love and compassion, and this woman even matching me up, like, you know, and that resentment does turn into violence. I think you all get my drift. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Roel, for sharing. You know, Doc, I don't know how much time again you have with us here. You know, if I can engage in part, at least 15 minutes into the next hour, because I have to break for the news in a little bit. But I'm getting a lot of messages, people telling me thank you very much for this conversation this afternoon. One is saying to me, thank you very much, Doc, for sharing the fact that gifts too early in the relationship could be dominating. Another one says, I didn't know that receiving gifts is a red flag that person wants to be controlling. Another one is saying to me, yes, I was in a relationship once where I was getting gifts in the first week. I got a brand new cell phone. I got I thought, you know, well, he was trying to buy my love. And I felt bad for not dating him further. So I continued to date him only to recognize that he was paying for my prison cell. in order to keep me locked down. So this con- yeah. you have opened up a can of worms here this afternoon, you know, and we ain't really scratched the surface as yet, you know. Because what I want to do, I need to take a break. Do I have, could I have you at least 10 minutes into the next hour, or you?
Unfortunately, no. Sorry about that. I have
that's
to,
so, that's I have okay. To well, what I would but do, I want you to just wrap up and tell me, you know, what are some of the steps an individual can take if they recognize signs of abuse by a step parent? At least I could get 3 minutes with you with that.
Sorry, I didn't get that last question. What,
What can someone do when recognizing that the step parent is abusive to their child? What can, how can they identify
okay.
that?
Okay, so therefore,
from discipline to abuse.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you remember some of those individuals would use the child as a pawn. They threaten you to, if you're going to leave them, mm-hmm. they will do something to the child. And definitely, what we found, that let us say a woman has decided she wants to leave that relationship, the point when you are leaving, when you made up your mind, when your bags are packed, that's the most dangerous point. So we tell you, don't leave on your own. You have to get social services involved and the police involved when you're leaving. Because the minute that man thinks he is leaving you, he figures his life is coming to an end.
Yep.
And he may decide he's going to lash out at you and probably even take his own life. So the most dangerous time is that time. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Thank you very much, Doctor, for sharing these insights with us this afternoon. You have certainly paved the way for us for future conversations on this issue, because by no stretch of the imagination, we would have delved deep into this. And I would like to engage you again in the not too distant future to continue red flags in the relationship, abuse in relationships and so forth, because you have really shed some light on some early onsets that me, I and all, would have thought it to be normal, you know. So thank you. Thank you very much, Doc. And have yourself a wonderful and safe afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
You're most welcome, sir. Thank you.
Now, a station that's giving you back the power to speak your mind. The all-new Talk Radio. Freedom 106.5.